We thank you for the opportunity to become more of a praying church as we Zoom together on Wednesday nights. And we're reminded that the acrostic acts, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication for others are important in prayer. And so you're the Almighty God, Lord, that we worship. We adore you, and we confess that we're all sinners. As we did yesterday in terms of the Thanksgiving luncheon. And we pray, we have long lists of prayer requests for, not for ourselves, but for others. And you know what that is. And so our prayer this morning is that we do learn more about what it means to love unconditionally, to love sacrificially, to love selflessly, to give and forgive. And so, Lord, as Pastor Richard continues this week on 1 Corinthians 12 and the later verses, messages, of course, love one another, and we need to do that as a member of this church, and we need to do that to our friends, family, colleagues, fellow students, and everyone we encounter. So, Lord, put that inspiration and motivation in our hearts to pray more consistently, more fervently for others, to love one another truly in the agape love that Christ teaches. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians 12, 27, 13, 7 there. So all the way through both chapters, some of the key verses. So, Brother Kerry?
Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27, and then goes through chapter 13, verse 7. And this is what it says from God's word. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps ministration, various kinds of tongues. Are all not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. And I'll show you a still more excellent way. Chapter 13, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, it is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So great to see all of you here today. So great to talk once again, as we did last week, about love, what it means to be in the body of Christ, what it means to love one another. I'm going to start with a quote from John Piper. It should also be in your bulletin on the notes page. John Piper defines love using the scripture. He defines it as, love is doing whatever you have to do at whatever cost to yourself in order to help another person stop finding pleasure in being made much of and help them get to the mature, God-exalting, Christ-besotted, joyfully self-sacrificing, self-forgetting delight in making much of God for the sake of others. So love is a selfless act. It's not something that thinks about what we want, but what the other person needs. And what everyone ultimately needs is that they need to have a God-exalting, Christ-besotted, joyfully self-sacrificing, self-forgetting delight in making much of God for the sake of others. So we are to make much of God. We are to exalt God with our lives. And we're not to find pleasure in people making much of us, in us being exalted. Instead, we want to point to Jesus Christ. Now, this passage today that we're looking at, that is the message of this passage. How can we love others better? How can we love one another in the church? Because we're still in the context of talking about the body of Christ. So Paul is talking about how can we love each other in the church. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, it is hard to lay down our lives for others, Father, because we are naturally selfish people because of our sinful nature. And as we looked at in Romans, we still have a great struggle in our lives, even though the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts, Father, we still struggle to love others the way that we should, Father. So Paul writes this beautiful passage, Father, one that many poets and artists have thought about and written about, this love that Paul talks about. This is the greatest passage in the Bible on love, Father. And yet this is a love that we must have for one another in the church, because as we said last week, Jesus said that people shall know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. Father, help me right now to talk about this love in a way that honors you, Father, in a way that points to Jesus Christ as our ultimate treasure, Father. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we pick up where we left off last week in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 27 through 30. Paul starts by saying, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. That reminds us of what we talked about last week. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. He asks, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Now we could have a study on these gifts and take several hours at least going through each one and how it operates and how we would work these gifts. Some of these gifts, I believe, have passed on, like the gift of healing. I don't believe that anyone has the gift of healing in the sense that they cannot willfully choose to heal anyone at any time through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I still do believe in miraculous healings. I believe God does that, and he can do that in answer to prayer. But I don't believe that anyone has the power to do it at will, just to heal anyone anytime they want. And that is what I believe the gift of healing was at the time this was written. But one thing to note is that in with the gift of healing and miracles and apostleship, which are very high, important gifts, Paul also lists helping and administration and teaching, all of which seem a lot more mundane than these other gifts. Yet the reason he does this is because he's trying to say that we all have different gifts. We don't all have the gift of healing. We don't all have the gift of helping. We don't all have the gift of teaching. These gifts are spread throughout the body as God wills. As he decides, the one gift will be given to one person, another gift will be given to another person. But this is not meant to cause us to be jealous of one another. In fact, we're to accept the gifts that we're given and be happy and joyful in using those gifts as part of the body. But then he goes on. It seems like he's changing the subject. He's not talking about spiritual gifts anymore. Now he's talking about love. But that's not what he's doing. He's talking about the same thing. He's talking about how do we use our spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31 says, "But earnestly desire the higher gifts. Yet I will show you a still more excellent way." So he's saying, you of course should desire to have important gifts so you can serve the Lord faithfully. But there's a more excellent way. There's a more excellent gift. There's a more excellent way of doing things. And that is love. Love is the greatest spiritual gift that we possess. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, we all possess the gift of love. So even though we have many different gifts and we use them in different ways for the body, to support the body, to edify others, to selflessly serve them, there is one gift that we all possess: love. And if we don't possess that gift of love, Paul is about to say, then we're nothing. Meaning we aren't even a believer. If we don't possess the gift of love, it's a waste of time, everything we're doing, because we don't know Jesus. That's what he's actually saying, because he says some really strong things in the next few verses. 1 Corinthians 13:1 begins, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." Number one, even if we were able to speak in every known language ever spoken so that we could communicate with every person perfectly, communicating what we want to communicate, it would all be just noise if we could not love people by pointing them to Jesus. Number one, even if we were able to speak in every known language ever spoken so that we could communicate with every person, it would all be just noise if we could not love people by pointing them to Jesus. Noise. That's what he says. It's noise. It's a noisy gong. It's a gong playing out of tune. It's not fitting in with the rest of the music. It's just making a clashing sound. It's a clanging cymbal. This is not beautiful music he's talking about. This is an awful sound that does not belong in the choir. It doesn't belong in the orchestra. Even though we could communicate everything that we ever wanted to communicate, we could speak to people in any language we wanted to, without love, it's useless. And useless means not walking as a Christian. 1 Corinthians 13:2 says, "And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." Number two, even if we were able to understand and explain the message of God's word by perfectly interpreting every bit of knowledge that he has given us, but lacked love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, it would be useless. Number two, even if we were able to understand and explain the message of God's word by perfectly interpreting every bit of knowledge that he gives us, but lacked love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, it would be useless. All mysteries, all knowledge, all prophetic powers, we would still be used, it would be useless without love. If we're not acting in love as we explain it, if we're not acting in love as we proclaim it, if we're not acting in love as we share it, it's useless, according to Paul here. It's nothing. And he goes on, number three. "And even if we had the strongest faith and trust in everything Jesus has taught us, so that we could be able to move mountains with the sheer power of it, but had not love for one another, it would be as nothing, a waste of time." Number three, "And even if we had the strongest faith and trust in everything Jesus has taught us, so that we could be able to move mountains with the sheer power of it, but had not love for one another, it would be as nothing, a waste of time." So he says, all faith, so as to remove mountains. And isn't faith the measure of whether or not we are successful as a Christian, whether or not we're serving God properly? Is not faith the, we always talk about how faith in Christ, we just need to have faith and trust in Christ. But Paul is saying, what he's really saying is that faith isn't really faith if there's no love coming from the heart that's professing that faith. Even if we could remove mountains, and of course, if it's not real faith, we couldn't remove mountains. But he's saying that, let's say it were possible in a strange world for us to have all of this faith, so we could say to that mountain, as Jesus says, and cast it into the sea. Even if we could do that, if we didn't have love, we would be nothing. So love is that essential. He's saying it's equally important to faith. Now we look at the characteristics. Oh, no. Sorry. 1 Corinthians 13:3. He says, "If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing." Number four, even if we had the greatest sacrifice by giving away everything we had to the poor and gave up our body as a physical sacrifice in the name of Christ, but have no love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, we would gain nothing. Number four, even if we had the greatest sacrifice by giving away everything we had to the poor and gave up our body as a physical sacrifice in the name of Christ, but have no love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, we would gain nothing. So here, Jesus talked to the rich young ruler. You might remember that passage. And the rich young ruler thought, well, I've done all the good commandments. I've done everything that I'm supposed to do. He said, what more must I do, Jesus, in order to be justified? And Jesus said to the rich young ruler, you've done all the right things, but now give up everything you have to the poor and come follow me. So Jesus was saying if he could just give up everything he had to the poor and follow Jesus, then he would really be set. But even that's not enough, according to Paul. Even if you give up everything you have to the poor, give away all of your possessions, and spend a lifetime of just pursuing, trying to obey the commands of the Bible, but if you have no love, we gain nothing. And he says, even if you go to the stake for the doctrinal commitments that you have, as many did in the time of the Reformation, and you're burned at the stake because you won't give up on your beliefs, the things that you're saying are true from the Bible, but if you have not love, it doesn't matter. Your body could be burned up. You could give everything to the poor. Your body could be burned up at the stake, trying to stand firm on everything that is right and true. But if you have no love, you gain nothing. And gaining nothing means we don't ultimately have Christ. So Paul goes on to talk about some characteristics of love. What is love? How does Paul define it? Which ultimately is, how does the Holy Spirit define love? 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient and kind. It does not surprise us that Paul starts out by saying that love is patient and kind, because we all desire for others to be patient and kind with us. So this is a good start. This is an easy start for most people. Number five, though, but what might surprise some people is that the scripture defines patience as endurance for the sake of pointing people to Christ. We see this in 2 Timothy 2, verse 10, where Paul says, therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect being those who are all going to be saved in the end by Jesus' work, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So we see he's enduring everything. He's having that patience for the sake of the church. That's who the elect are. This is loving one another that he's talking about. So that ultimately the result is that they may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So we have patience that we might point people to Christ. We endure difficulties and persecutions so that we might bring people to Christ. That is what patience is, as defined by the scripture. Likewise, true kindness is only possible when we are looking to Jesus Christ and pointing others to him. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you, pointing ultimately to Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 13:4 goes on, love does not envy or boast. Galatians 5:26, Paul commands us, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. As sinners, we naturally desire to have the best things for ourselves and not for others. We want the best. Therefore, we envy others when they have good things and boast about the good things that we have. Instead, love is the exact opposite. Instead, we must rejoice when others are blessed and be happy when they succeed. Even those who, it seems, are unfairly receiving the favor of God, while we are maybe we seem to think we're unfairly receiving his discipline, we must not envy them. We must labor to point them to Christ. First Corinthians 13, verses 4 and 5 goes on. It is not arrogant or rude. Number 6, when we speak to others, we must not tear them down. Unrighteous anger and slander have no place in love. Words are meant for building up and giving grace to others. Number 6, when we speak to others, we must not tear them down. Unrighteous anger and slander have no place in love. Words are meant for building up and giving grace to others. Words themselves, the purpose of words, is meant to give grace to others, to build others up. That's why God designed language, so that we might build people up. The Holy Spirit, the author of the most edifying words ever spoken, which is the Word of God, is never arrogant or rude. God's Word is always ultimately meant to point to Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4, verses 29 through 31 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice." 1 Corinthians 13:5 goes on. It does not insist on its own way. Matthew 20, verses 25 through 28, Jesus talks about this. "But Jesus called to them and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So like Jesus, we must not be constantly looking out for what we want from others, but instead be looking out for how we can serve them. Number 7. Jesus came not to serve himself, even though he deserves it more than any other person, but to serve others by laying down his life for us. Jesus came not to serve himself, even though he deserves it more than any other person, but to serve others by laying down his life for us. We are called to be like Jesus and lay down our lives for others. We can't be constantly thinking of ways that we can have more of what we want, but instead being sacrificial, laying down our life for others, even when it causes great difficulty and struggle for us to do those things. Love is giving yourself away for the sake of Jesus, even when it's hard. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, "It is not irritable or resentful." To not be irritable means not to be easily offended when others wrong you. To not be resentful means to be continually forgiving when others offend you. In Matthew 18, verses 21 through 22, Jesus said to Peter, "Then Peter came up to him and said, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times.'" Here, the idea of 77 points to an infinite number of times that Peter was to forgive his brother when his brother sinned against him. Jesus taught Peter that if we do not have a forgiving spirit towards others, God will not forgive the sins we commit against him. At the end of Matthew 18, in the parable of the unforgiving slave, Jesus taught, "And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all of his debts. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Here the word jailers can also be translated torturers. So because the unforgiving slave was unwilling to forgive his brother, a lesser offense than the offense he had committed against God, Jesus is promising that God would not forgive us if we did the same. 1 Corinthians 13:6 goes on, "It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth." This aspect of love can easily be overlooked in today's culture. Love does not rejoice in sin. Instead, we are called to speak the truth in love and call others to repentance, because sin separates us from God. Sin leads to ruin and destruction. If we will not confront others about their sin and rejoice in the truth and not rejoice in wrongdoing, then we are not loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. We must confront them if there is something we see in their lives that needs to be repented of, because we don't want them to fall along the path that ultimately leads to hell. 1 Corinthians 13:7 goes on, "Love bears all things." To bear all things is to count others more significant than yourselves. If they mistreat you, look for ways to love them in return. We must forgive easily and show much patience with one another. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4 says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." We have to, in humility, count other people's needs as more important than our own. It's hard. It's hard because we're always tempted to shore up everything we have and to make sure that we're taken care of. We don't want people to work too hard or get sick from overextending themselves. But the Bible actually calls us to lay down our lives for one another. So we have to find ways that we can serve in greater ways. We have to, Jesus went to the cross ultimately to serve us. How can we not also take up our crosses and follow him by serving one another in love the best that we can? And I must say, I was encouraged greatly when we were at the Thanksgiving service yesterday, how the church came together and really loved one another and served one another the entire day, so that we could have a great gathering together and proclaim the name of Jesus. I was greatly encouraged by all of you for coming together to do that. I only encourage you now, I urge you now, continue to do that. Continue to work as hard as you can to serve your brothers and sisters in Christ. It is worth it because that is what Jesus commands us to do. 1 Corinthians 13:7 goes on. Believes all things. To believe all things means to always look for the best in others. While we never deny the truth about someone's actions, we always give others the benefit of the doubt. As it says in the previous verse, we do not rejoice in sin or wrongdoing. We must always speak the truth in love. Galatians 6:1 says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Number 8, love includes gently but lovingly warning those who are not showing fruit of salvation about the possibility of God's judgment. It is not loving to see someone in danger of hell and not warn them about it. Number 8, love includes gently but lovingly warning those who are not showing fruit of salvation about the possibility of God's judgment. It is not loving to see someone in danger of hell and not warn them about it. That is why Galatians 6:1 says if someone is caught in a sin, to restore them gently. It is very important. A loving rebuke can be a lifesaver for someone who needs to hear it. That can be love as well, a loving rebuke. 1 Corinthians 13:7 also says, hopes all things. To hope all things is to never give up on people, never to give up on our brothers and sisters in Christ. There is always hope for repentance. There's always hope for restoration. There is always hope in Jesus Christ. I'll say it again. To hope all things is to never give up on people. There is always hope for repentance. There is always hope for restoration. There is always hope in Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus did everything that is necessary to save us. If we will repent and put our trust in him, he did it all. He came to earth. He became a man, both truly man and truly God. He lived a perfect life. He never sinned. And his righteousness can be ours. When we trust in him, we receive his righteousness as our own. Then he went to the cross. The punishment that we deserve for our sin, that eternal hell that we have earned by breaking God's law. He went to the cross and took that eternal hell upon himself so that we might not have to take that punishment by trusting in him. And he rose again on the third day so that we might have new spiritual life in him and new physical life in the kingdom to come. And that is love, brothers and sisters. That is love because Jesus completely forgot whatever needs he had and completely humbled himself so that he could serve his church, love them, cherish them. He was willing to take an infinite amount of pain and suffering on himself so that he might serve his church. And he calls all of us here today to serve in the same way, self-sacrificially, giving as much as we can. If that means pain and suffering, if it means exhaustion, that's what he wants for us. He wants us to be like he was and lay down our lives for one another. And that's why it says in 1 Corinthians 13:7, the end of our passage for today, that love endures all things. To endure all things means to love even our enemies when they seek to harm us, even when they persecute us. Matthew 5:43-48 says, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And all I can say to this is, Jesus commands us to love our enemies, to lay down our lives for our enemies. How much easier should it be for us to lay down our lives for each other when we have such a great love here at Berkeley Crossroads Baptist Church? We are to love our enemies and lay down our lives for them. But since that's what we are to do, we should be able to do the easier thing and love those who love us here and lay down our lives for them. Application, just one application today, because we had a long message today. Number one, love is not just one possible outcome of salvation in Christ. It is an essential fruit of the work of the Spirit in our hearts. Examine yourself to see if you are truly loving your brothers and sisters in Christ every day. Are you counting the needs of those in the body of Berkeley Crossroads as more significant than your own needs? Application number one. Love is not just one possible outcome of salvation in Christ. It is an essential fruit of the work of the Spirit in our hearts. Examine yourself to see if you are truly loving your brothers and sisters in Christ in every single day. Are you counting the needs of those in the body of Berkeley Crossroads as more significant than your own needs? Are we counting the needs of those in this body as more significant than whatever needs that we have of our own? Because that is what it means to lay down our life for Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, we can see what love looks like, Father. We can see how wonderful it is when people love. But we can also see that it requires great sacrifice and patience and love and endurance in order to achieve this love that Paul describes here, Father. Last week we talked about the body and how we are all members of the body of Jesus Christ, Father, and how we all need each other, Father, because without the body, we can't even be part of you, Father. We can't be part of Christ if we're not part of the body, Father. And you said in your word that it is impossible for anyone to say they're alone and away from the body and still part of Christ, still part of your church, Father. And then you tell us this week about love, Father. Love is a hard thing to live out, Father, but I pray that we would live it out, that your Holy Spirit would work in us, Father, that we would respond to these scriptures, and we would desire to love, laying down our lives to whatever extent we can, Father, doing everything we can to serve your body, to serve your church, to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray all of this in Jesus' name.